paper way, but didn't get a chance to do that today. All right. We'll go ahead and pray. We're in the book of Matthew. We left off in verse 9, chapter 19. And we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for all that you do for us, all the answer prayers you give us, Lord. And we're not deserving of any of it, and yet you just keep answering, and you keep just giving, Lord. And we ought to give a lot more back, but we don't, and you just keep giving. And we're thankful for that. And Father, we're thankful for the gift of your words. We're thankful that you sent your Son, Lord, to die on the cross for our sins. And we pray that we would just keep that in mind throughout our days and not take your words lightly. And we pray now for the message this morning, Lord, that our eyes and our ears will be open to your words, and that we would learn from them, Lord, and learn a few things here and learn how to better walk with you. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, we're still in chapter 19. We left off in verse 9, and we went through some things there. The Bible says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." And last week we went through a little bit about what Jesus has just done here. He has he's told the Pharisees, he's answered their question, and he's basically told them, for every cause that you've been divorcing for, it is wrong. And it's always been adultery if you divorce for any other reason other than fornication. And you guys have just taken what Moses did. You took out of context what is written in the Bible, basically what they did. And so Jesus has to say, he's not upping the ante here in the New Testament. He's not changing anything. It's always been this way. Okay, God has been merciful throughout the Old Testament. And it looks like there's four types of adultery. There's the sexual relationship between two parties, with at least one of the parties being married, okay? And that's found in Leviticus 20. We'll look that up. Verse 10. The Bible says, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife." Okay, so adultery, you're married to somebody, and somebody's married there, and somebody is having an act with somebody's married partner. Okay, that is adultery. Okay, and then you have this other one found here in Matthew 19, where you have, you know, somebody being married to another, right? He's committing adultery. That's bigotry when you have two marriages there, okay? And then you have what's called, we'll say, adultery of the heart. There's the adultery that you commit with the heart. It's not the physical act, okay? You would do it had you had the opportunity, but you didn't. You just thought about it in your heart with another woman. Okay. Matthew chapter 5:28. The Bible says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Now I'm taking that as, you know, somebody's married looking at somebody else's wife. But right there, it doesn't really give a clear definition. But we know that by definitions in the Old Testament, that there's a married partner and there's an unmarried partner or a married partner, and they're, you know, right? Okay. So, and then you've got relationship with other gods that's found in Jeremiah. That's Israel committing whoredoms and adultery with other gods and rocks and idols. Jeremiah 3, verse 9. And that's one of the reasons why God divorced Israel. Jeremiah 3, verse 9. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. I'm sorry. And so, Israel, there's a spiritual type of adultery where we're married to Jesus Christ, and we start worshiping other gods. I mean, that's spiritual adultery. Okay. Same thing with God and Israel of the Old Testament, and God divorces Israel for this purpose. Okay. And so, why is this adultery here? The Bible says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." Why is this adultery here, and not somebody just leaving his wife and being married to somebody else? And if somebody puts away somebody, right, gives them a writing divorcement, like they said in the Old Testament, and they found some uncleanness in her, they give her a bill of divorcement, and Jesus says, no, that's adultery, unless it was for fornication. Okay? And why, though? Because if God is looking at a marriage, what God has joined together, the Bible says, let not man put asunder. If God has joined this marriage together, then you don't have that right to put it away. And even though you write a bill of divorcement out and give it to this woman, a man giving it to a woman, right? God does not look at that as a lawful divorce. And so he's seeing that you're not marrying somebody else because you couldn't put the first one away. You had no right to do so. And so he's calling that adultery. And that's why he does that, because God doesn't recognize the divorce there. He doesn't recognize that piece of paper. Okay? He doesn't recognize the piece of paper that the man wrote. Your piece of paper doesn't nullify what God said in his words. Just because you said there is no God doesn't mean that there isn't one, right? Just because you don't know what's in the Bible doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't have what you need to know that's in there. And because you're ignorant of certain passages of Scripture doesn't mean that they're not true. You see what I'm saying? And so, you can't nullify God's words by your thoughts and your pieces of paper. And if God joins something together, how can man separate it? He can't. Right? He can't. Fornication this is the sense of adultery here. And so adultery is what breaks the joining of the relationship by God. And when a man had found that out, that some uncleanness, like with Joseph and Mary, he saw that she had some uncleanness in her. That's why he was going to put her away privately, right? And so he was going to put her away, give her a bill of divorcement. There was no coming together yet. There was no cleaving yet. But they were still married in God's eyes. Husband and wife, that's what the angel said. For not to take Mary thy wife. when they give, and they gave specifications on what they were to do and what not to do until Jesus was born. Okay. And so the man can only put away a wife for fornication. If the woman fornicates, the man can put away that woman. If he remarries, he's not committed adultery. However, and we didn't get into this last week, it doesn't look like that a woman could put away her husband for any reason. I'm going to just say that, and that's what it looks like to me. And we'll go through some of the scriptures. It doesn't look like it. Okay, so we'll go 1 Corinthians 7:39. The Bible says the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Okay? What if the husband's dead? Right? Romans 7. Romans 7. Seven, 1-3. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion, the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. Now, it looks like in the Old Testament that the man gave the woman a writing of divorcement, and that she was married to another. Okay? We're going to go through that here in a couple minutes. Romans 1. Or Romans 7, 1 through 3. And so, at that point, when the man is dead, in God's eyes, that marriage has been broken. Okay? The union is put away, but it's not put away by man, and it's not put away by woman. It's put away by God. He's the one that joined them together. Okay? And so God puts them away. Puts that marriage away. It's nullified there, and she could be married to another. Look at the case with David and Abigail. We all know that story, right? David and Abigail. And how about David and Bathsheba? Right? There is no option for David to marry Abigail while her husband lives. Even Abigail knew her husband wasn't really that good of a person, right? But she knew she couldn't divorce him. She's bound by the law unto her husband as long as she liveth. But when God took the man's life, she didn't waste too much time, right? And neither did David. Look at David and Bathsheba. There is no option for Bathsheba to divorce her husband. There's no option. If she waits and she tells her husband and her husband brings her and David to the law, they both die. There's no option for Uriah to divorce Bathsheba publicly and her marry David. There's no option there. So David has him killed. She's loose from the law. She can be married again. Okay, so go ahead. The law is the law, right? Does the law not apply to us today? Right. Right. I know, and we're going to go through this. I understand. We're brought up in America here, where women have their equal rights, right? I'm just saying. We don't know the Bible like we should. Right? So I'm just putting this. This is what it looks like to me. Yes, brother. Right. Yes, there are. Right. Right. Yes. Yes. And so I'm just giving you what it looks like to me, okay, based upon what the scriptures say. And I'm not saying this is how it is. I'm just saying this is what it looks like. And I'm bound because I told the Lord, if he teaches me, whatever he teaches me, regardless, I mean, I try to weigh these things, I'll put it out. Hey, my last name is Bartell Men. I'm going to tell, all right? I don't care. I'm going to tell you what I believe the Bible is saying here. And not for any other reason, but because I told the Lord, if he teaches me the Bible, I'll tell people. All right? And whether or not we like it or not, hey, it's a tough subject for everybody here, okay? For a lot of people anyway, including myself. But I'm going to teach it. Do you think David asked his other wives? I'm just going to ask you this. Do you think David asked his other wives before he went and married these women? I mean, did you think he went and asked permission? Hey, can I marry Abigail? Can I marry Bathsheba? Okay. Well, how come there is no record in the Old Testament of any woman divorcing for fornication that I see? Right. If you see it, show me. I mean, I want to see it because I'm just saying there's no record. And so... it doesn't look like there's ever a case in the Old Testament where a woman puts away a man, even for fornication. Now, you have the desertion rule in 1 Corinthians. And that's for a woman who hath departed, and she's to remain unmarried. The Bible is very clear about that. She's to remain unmarried. I think that's in 1 Corinthians 7:10. I'm breathing kind of hard. My heart's beating real fast right now. 1 Corinthians 7:10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and, if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Okay. So you have these verses in the Bible. And when Jesus is dealing with these Pharisees, he's dealing with a man putting away his wife. He doesn't ever say anything about a woman putting away a man, ever. Okay, that I read. And maybe it's there and it passed my eyes up and that could be true, but and so, you say, well, what about the woman in John? John 4. Look in John 4. There's a woman married 5 times. Okay? But you gotta take what Jesus has said, you gotta take what's written in the Old Testament and apply what Jesus is saying here. He recognizes she has five husbands. There's a reason for that. It's not because, it has to be a lawful reason if Jesus is recognizing that she's been married five times. Because if somebody's married to another in Matthew, they're in adultery. They're fornicating. So John 4, verses 16. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. He must be alive, right? This last husband of hers. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now think about it. If the man gave her a bill of divorcement for any cause, because Moses suffered it to be so in the Old Testament, she's thinking she has no husband. Go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. Okay? And that's five. And he, that's six, whom thou now hast, is not thy husband. And she acknowledged that she had no husband. She knew she wasn't married to anybody because she has this bill of divorcement. Right? Think about it. And so in that sayest thou truly. So she's in adultery with another man because she's been put away by one of her husbands, right? And that's why Jesus can say this. And she can say, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, no, you don't. You're in adultery with somebody else now. And the adultery breaks the marriage, yes. Right. Well, she married five times. God recognizes that. And the woman and the guy that she's now with, yeah, she's just living with him. And you're going to see that's the same thinking that the disciples have. You're going to see that. And so and that's why this looks like, this is what it looks like, that the woman cannot put away a man for any cause. That's what it looks like. And so, except for a man can put away a woman, but a woman can't put away a man. Okay? And so, you know what the problem with the Pharisee is, folks? We, as Bible believers, right? The problem with Pharisees are that they want to go by the Word of God. We want to go by the Word of God until it becomes an inconvenience in our lives. Right. And when you start pointing these scriptures out, they start to hurt the heart. And we want to believe something else, just like the Pharisees. We can put away a woman for any cause. Moses said so. And Jesus says, no. You guys are wrong, and it's been adultery all along. And so, when we're dealing with these situations, we can know all the Bible we want to know. And we can have all the scriptures for every situation out there. But it isn't going to do the people that are offended any good. Think about it. Wife commits adultery on you. Do you care what the Bible says at that point? Your heart's broken. So you got to think about that when you're dealing with people. And hopefully you'd never have to deal with this, but it's in the country. And we just got to have grace and mercy to deal with those situations. Verse 10. Let's move on and get out of that one. Verse 10. Now, let's look at the disciples' attitude here, okay? His disciples saying to him, If the case of a man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. The disciples have the same thinking as the Pharisees, okay? Why? Because this was common. It was a common practice back in Jesus' day where a man could put away his wife for every cause. That's what was being taught by the Pharisees. That was being what was being taught by the rulers. That's why they had this idea. That's why they brought it to Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, nope, your ideas are wrong. And that's what's being brought up in their schools, in their religious schools. The thinking here is, what Jesus has just revealed is that you can't get rid of your wife for any cause. But only if she's unfaithful to you with somebody else. And she's in adultery. That's the only way. That's because she's in violation of law. And that's the way it's always been. And that's what Jesus has just told these Pharisees. And the disciples have heard them. But because of the hardness of their hearts, Moses put up with it. He put up with it. God put up with it through Moses. And once everyone accepts Jesus' teaching here, right? The woman, and once she finds out that this is the way Jesus says it's supposed to be, then they don't have to walk on eggshells with their husbands anymore. And that's what the disciples are thinking. That's what I'd be thinking. I can't put my wife away for any cause now. Now, she's not going to be this subservient person to me anymore. And it's a hard thing for them to hear. If we thought we had problems before, wait till these women get a hold of this saying. Wait till they hear what Jesus has to say about this. We're stuck with our wives now for the long haul. And the disciples say, we don't like marriage anymore. We don't like God-ordained marriage anymore. It's better off not to even get married. It's better not to even get married and procreate and replenish the earth like God had ordained from the very beginning. And that's what the disciples are saying here. They're saying, his disciples saying to him, if the case of a man be so with his wife, meaning that he got to stick with her now. How many women are out there committing adultery back then? They get stoned. It's not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they who it is given. Verse 11. And he's going to give you the saying, okay? Jesus takes the disciples' response, and even though it may not have been a proper response to the Word of God, Jesus doesn't rebuke them for this response. Why? Because even though God ordained marriage, and God joins together a man and a woman, and the disciples want to say that it's not good to marry now, right? It's not a good thing. They understand Jesus' view about this marriage business, and they give Jesus the benefit of the doubt that he's right. Notice what they say. He says, if the case be of a man be so with his wife, verse 10, it is not good to marry. If you're right, Jesus, and this is the way it is, we're in trouble, and it's better off for us not to marry. So they give Jesus the benefit of the doubt when they say this. And that shows that they're willing to take action, folks, on the Word of God. They're willing to take some type of action and change something in their lives based upon the Word of God. And so Jesus then takes that fact that the disciples' heart is there. It's open. And he gives them a little more. And this is what he's going to give them. Verse 12. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. And the truth that Jesus is going to show them is that if you don't marry, then you're to stay a virgin. And so he teaches them about deformities that would cause somebody to be a virgin all his life. Right? Because of physical impossibilities. Of no fault of their own. Just because that's the way they were born. They have a physical deformity. Okay? And then he teaches them about how there's some instances that against man's will, somebody made them a eunuch. Now that's a horrible thing. All right? Imagine being 16, 17 years old and you get taken captive by the Babylonians like Daniel and his three buddies, right? Daniel 1. And they do some cutting. Just like they do on a pig or a cat or a dog, right? Or chicken even. That's a weird thing. They actually perform surgery on a chicken to get rid of the sex gland in a chicken by going underneath the fifth rib on a male chicken so that they can so that the hormones, the male doesn't get so big, then they can eat the chicken after so many months. The other way you wouldn't be able to eat a chicken. Eat a male anyway. Huh? I don't know. Some doctor. But he says there's those instances. And then he says there's also instances where people, just because they want to serve the Lord for the kingdom of heaven's sake. What did Jesus do? Jesus was never married. What about Paul? Paul was never married. Is that somebody taking and maiming themselves? No. They made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, meaning they abstained. They were in control of their body. And they decided not to do that. And the Catholics take this, they take this and they say, well, you can't be married. If you're going to be a priest, you can't be married. They teach celibacy on that. And they neglect 1 Timothy 3, 1 Corinthians 9, Hebrews 14. Why? Why? Because they want to have they want to commit whoredoms with the nuns. But they don't want you to be married if you're going to be in that position. And so this has some doctrinal application. We'll get this and we'll be done. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. During the tribulation, folks, that's going to be a time where you do not want to procreate the earth. Okay? The Jew. I'm hoping to be gone. I hope all of you are gone. When I say you, I'm talking about the people that are in the tribulation. Okay? They're not going to want to procreate the earth at that period of time. There's going to be some bad things going on here. And so there's going to be 144,000 Jews that are able to receive this message right here. We know that because the Bible says they are virgins. And they don't defile themselves with women, whatever that means. I haven't figured that one out yet. But there's some defilement that goes on. And they are virgins. They have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Okay? And think about it. If you're in a tribulation and you can't eat without taking the mark, how are you going to support your family? How are you going to feed your wife? How are you going to feed your kids? That's what marriage is about, procreation, folks. They have babies, right? That's why God ordained it. He told them to replenish the earth, be fruitful, and replenish the earth, multiply and replenish the earth. And so, if you're married, if you get married in the tribulation, and you have a child, you're going to be tempted to make agreements with the Antichrist. And when you make agreements with the Antichrist, you're disagreeing with God. You take the mark of the beast, you're saying, we don't want you, God. And God's going to say, I don't know you. And so you say, what about a baby? They have all this infant baptism now. What if this baby gets the mark of the beast on him? Does that baby go to hell? No, you have to take the mark willingly, folks. It's just like the law. God doesn't recognize that you broke the law unless you have knowledge of it. Right? So babies are going to be fine whether they got a mark on them or not in the tribulation. And so, and that's what this is talking about. I think it's in, I can't remember where it's at. Revelation 14. Let's see. I think it's Revelation 2. I can't remember where this is at. Yeah, Revelation 14, 2. The Bible says, if there are 144,000, the Bible says, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as a voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits of unto God and to the Lamb. And so there you have, there's these people that are going to understand this saying, and they're going to be able to keep it. Those people in the tribulation, it's 144,000, they're virgins, folks. And God is teaching the disciples here that, hey, it's not against the law if you don't want to get married. It's not against the law if you get married. But it's against the law for you to commit whoredom with women and to think in your mind that it's not good for a man to marry. But it's okay to go around sleeping around with them. Don't be thinking that in your mind. And so Jesus goes on and teaches them this. You want to stay unmarried? You want to be a eunuch of men? Okay, well that's not a good way to go. You weren't deformed? You want to make yourself a eunuch? This is how you have to be. You're not going to have both. Okay? We'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And yeah, some of it hurts. And some of it may not make sense to us, Lord. And some of us may get what you're saying. And I could be wrong. And we could all be wrong. And one day you'll show us the truth in heaven. But we thank you for your mercy, Lord, even when we are wrong and we have wrong thoughts. And we don't match up with the Bible, maybe because of ignorance. And you were merciful in the Old Testament, and you're merciful today, and we're thankful for it. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless the services today for Christ's sake. Amen.